Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a game day podcast from TalkSport, the record book.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Game Day podcast with me, Danny Kelly. Usual me. Last week I wasn't here, kept away by the storms. This week I've battled through the storms. I'm very glad to, though, because I've got absolute A-class. Is that the right word? A-class. A group of people helped me with the podcast. Regular, of course, and one of the reasons why it's going through the roof and award-winning. Tom Rennie's with us. Hi, Tom.
I am the reason for the popularity of this programme, though I'd thank you not to mention A-class around me again. Okay.
Are you still under some kind of...
Just in case the police are listening. I know they're unmanned, but they make time for this show.
Oh, no, the police do listen. Everyone listens to this show now.
Yeah, Sting loves this one.
It's almost universal.
It's his favourite show.
And alongside him, returning after her brilliant debut a few weeks ago, where once again I didn't turn up for the show.
It was a great show. I'd say it was the best show of the series.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Chloe Petz, hello Chloe.
Hello, thank you for having me. You're very, very welcome. To be in your presence for this one.
A bit difficult for fans from the north, because now we've got three Peter Sport London clubs, just to put the cards on the table. Tottenham.
The Amers.
Palace, yeah. Big time.
Palace and all
come
that,
on,
yeah.
You Palace.
All rubbish ones, though. So, you know, they can fit a sense of empathy with us.
I think you'll find since the UEFA have done their business, Spurs are now established in the Champions League places. Is that fair?
Yeah,
I dare say Manchester City will get another mention or two as the next 40 minutes flows by.
Manchester City's disappointed but not surprised by today's announcement.
The Premier League understands the value of its collective relationship, and there absolutely should be a complete follow-through now from the Premier League.
All my sympathy, because I love them so much. I'm so grateful for them, for everything they did with me, the time we spent together, and I suffer because I know they are going through a difficult time.
Chloe, because you're the most recent addition to our happy band, why don't you start with your villain of the week?
Of course, yes, and that City chat is coming a lot earlier than I think you would have suggested there. I'm going to go for Cheeky Beg... I can't say his surname.
Let's just call him Cheeky.
Cheeky Beg.
It's brilliant that he's called Cheeky.
And he's also married to Lembit Opik, so it works out very nicely.
Cheeky Begeristein, is that right?
Yeah. Cheeky Begeristein, yeah, he's been a very cheeky boy, and it's all coming to a bit of a head this week after we've heard that Man City have been banned from European competitions for 2 years. And yeah, the reason I've chosen him is because he's the guy, he was the sporting director that kind of oversaw all of the naughty business, which I understand is a very, very complex thing. But I just initially wanted to draw attention to some of the signings that got them into this financial fair play situation that they find themselves in. So they spent over this period £135 million. Some of those signings were Eloquin Mangala, Stefan Jovetic, Scott Sinclair, and my favourite of them all, Jack Rodwell.
Wow. Yeah,
Rodwell remains the magnificent thing in all of this, doesn't it? The grit and the oyster. As City's team improved and improved and improved, they brought in the great and the good from every corner of the globe.
He is a footballing curse, isn't he? He's been through Sunderland.
Yeah, so he basically just goes into any club and does a sort of like destroy and ruin job and then just exits with loads of money.
Forgive me, because January is now a distant memory. Has he pitched up at Sheffield United now?
He is at Sheffield United, yeah. And it's such a shame because they were on their way to the Champions League, and now relegation beckons, I'm afraid. Sorry, Blades.
And of course, the only reason he hasn't already ruined him is because of the midwinter break.
Exactly.
He hasn't had a chance to destroy.
He's not infected the veins and the vessels of the club as
yet. No club has had a better midwinter break than West Ham. No defeat.
Oh, I'm going to mention this more later on, but I'll tell you what, West Ham not playing has put me in such a good humour. I've never been happier. Like, I've never been more positive going into a weekend, ending a weekend. I've not been miserable or sad for such a long time now. It feels weird. This might be my most positive appearance on the record book yet.
Echo on that with the Palace front. I exercised, I ate a vegetable. Like, I just feel really good about myself and all
great.
Those around me. Thank you
it's
so
the best
much.
You've ever looked. You look
my
fantastic.
My skin is glowing.
Yeah. Crystalline.
My hair's growing back. It's amazing.
No, I remember when I 20 years ago, maybe more, where I got so intense about Spurs, I had to give myself a proper talk to it and I stopped caring.
Yeah.
I still was interested in them for about 5 years and was it still probably in the music business, so I could afford not to have to watch them in great detail. I said, right, you are driving yourself bonkers here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're making yourself an ill man, worrying about this stupid football team. So I remained interested, but I didn't care whether they won or lost. Sadly, that's all gone away.
You can't do that now, can you?
No, I can't.
Like, the last time West Ham got relegated, I was at university, drinking heavily, having a wonderful time. And so I didn't really feel that affected by it. I kind of moved on from it. This time around, I have to watch 380 games a season, like doing commentary on 60 or more of them. I cannot get away from it. And then there are shows on top of it, discussions on top of it. And you know what it's like when people know you're a West Ham fan? You must get this at Palace as well. People will call you from various stations and they'll be like, oh, we need someone who's going to talk about that club and know a bit about it. So let's get Tom Rennie on, thinking, it's Tuesday. Yeah. I just want to think about anything else.
Yeah.
I've got hours and hours of, like, the Masked Singer to watch. This is all I really want to be doing.
Look, let's return to the cheeky boy at Manchester City.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is, I've just done a 3-hour show on TalkSport where I had to talk with Simon Jordan with great erudition and seriousness about the ins and outs of the Manchester City case and the appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. This podcast allows us... In fact, aren't most people secretly overjoyed and thrilled with this?
I just want to say that you won't have to go into any of that sort of analysis with me because I'm fundamentally stupid.
You brought an abacus.
I always carry it with me, don't you worry. But essentially... I am quite excited by it, but I kind of feel like my attitude towards Man City not potentially being in the Champions League is a bit like my attitude towards climate change, in that I feel like there's like a window of opportunity where it could be changed and we could go back on it and everything could go on as normal, but there is this real possibility that we're going to go into this sort of unknown land where there's no protocol, where anything could happen. So I'm seeing it with excitement but trepidation at the same time. No, I'm not seeing climate change with excitement, just to clarify there. I got myself in a bit of a verbal hole.
You're not a big fan. You've not got a big T-shirt that says, go, climate change.
No, and I don't have one of those for Man City either.
No.
They are made out of ethical materials, though. That's the key thing about all T-shirts that Chloe's wearing.
Are you laughing behind your hand about Manchester City?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm not laughing about it because I think the financial fair play, the whole thing stinks to high heaven because, you know, as much as I disagree as, you know, a supporter of the underdog, a typical British sports fan, you know, I want new teams to win things all the time, and I don't want sovereign wealth funds to be able to take over a second-rate club in Manchester and make them the biggest club in the world, in the same way a fourth-rate club in London, Chelsea, got an oligarch taking over just because he flew over that way first and not another club in his chopper, and thought, oh, I'll make them the best team in Europe. It annoys me, but also, like, if a sovereign wealth fund want to invest in a club and give them all their money to get the best players in the world, why are we stopping that? I don't really understand why there are regulations to stop that from happening.
Well, actually, I agree with you. It's their dough, they can spend it how they want, except they've signed up to the rules of the competition. And the rules of competition are dead clear. And I think nothing made UEFA more determined to go down, as I say, the global rabbit hole of Manchester City's finances than when City tried to go to the court arbitration before UEFA ruled to say, what is UEFA? What we're more important than that. I'm sure it got their backs up. I'm sure
it was that bit in the statement where they said, we have been fined by UEFA, we've been investigated by UEFA and punished by UEFA.
Yeah.
It's a UEFA tournament.
Yeah.
So of course you have. Like, it's a very nuanced position.
It just say, we have been investigated by UEFA, we have been fined by UEFA, we have been, what's the other word? Sanctioned by UEFA.
Yeah.
Just like last time.
Yeah.
Inverted commas. They've done this before. Oh, we got no time for anything else. Yes, we have. All right. Go on.
Oh, sorry.
Chloe, by all means, butt in rudely. That is the absolute standard on this show.
It's very much the premise of the programme.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I think that Man City...
That's very nice. Thanks very much. Yeah.
I think that Man City have just been a bit stupid about it, haven't they? Because all of the big clubs are doing it. Wherever there's wealth in the world, there's corruption. Everyone's doing it. They just haven't been cheeky about
it. Listen
to
Bernie Sanders go!
And by the way, Man City are not going to have a two-year ban from the Champions League.
Absolutely
zero
not.
Chance. Maybe one.
They'll buy their way out of
but
it. Absolutely.
But if you found the trailer of UEFA's ban exciting, the actual film is when the new head, what's he called, Mr. Masters, of the Premier League, when... Cass find that most of the allegations are true, the Premier League are going to have to do something about it
And there was a great gag from Mourinho on Sunday following the Tottenham Villa game where he said...
Match of the season.
Match of the season, maybe. Where he said, now I'm the champion of 2018 with Manchester United. I'll make sure to tell the players. Which I thought, I'm paraphrasing, but I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, no, and of course that'll be the next thing.
Yeah.
It's obviously that cheeky boy's in a real chance here. Who's your villain of the week?
My villain is the reaction to Sadio Mane's goal late on Saturday. Because this really, really frustrated me. Because usually I watch all the games live and do commentary games, whatever. But this one, you know, it's the winter break. So I thought, you know what, I'll take the wife out for dinner. I'll avoid the football Saturday evening. It'd be lovely. We don't get to do it a lot, right? So I went out and then I watched the game Match of the Day later. And I saw the analysis. Danny Murphy of this parish, of course, is on the TV. And he says, well, you know, there's a little nudge in the back. But, you know, there's not much in it, really. And I'm watching it back thinking, he has pushed Zimmerman in the back as the ball is dropping over his shoulder, controls it and scores. Now, put this the other way round. A high ball from Todd Cantwell to Pukki, and Virgil van Dijk gets pushed in the back by Teemu Pukki. Pukki scores. No longer the unbeatables, the undefeatables, the phenomenon that is Liverpool, because Pukki scored a goal. Imagine the outcry from the Liverpool supporting world that the record had been stopped because of that. This seems to have been swept under the carpet because, of course, Norwich are pathetic and they just want to be in the Championship and they're just famous with Delia Smith and yellow shirts and Jeremy Goss. You know, who cares? Nothing's changed in 25
Thanks
years.
Thanks for Jeremy Goss. I enjoyed that.
You know, fine. Yes. You know, we all love Norwich. You know, yellows, worst chant in football.
You don't want that goal disallowed for that touch, do
it's
you?
It's a push. He's pushed him in the back.
But I think
you're a West Ham fan.
It doesn't matter. That I enjoyed it and felt dirty celebrating it doesn't matter. It was a push in the back and should not have been allowed. And yet everyone just sort of went, well, you know, they were going to win anyway. So what does it matter?
But, like, I feel like it's one of those goals where, it's proper football men will look at that and go, like, yeah, that's a fine challenge. But by the modern standards of today's game, it's probably on balance a foul. But I'm quite enjoying the Liverpool...
You think that was a foul? That was a foul, right? It was a foul. I think it wasn't a foul.
I'm not as fussed about it as you are.
No, did you think it was a foul?
I thought it was one of those
Don't
where...
Don't be bullied. No.
There's only... you think no, right? You think that wasn't a foul?
I think it could have gone either way.
He's in the air.
I think it could have gone either way in terms of the ref. And then whatever the ref gives, VAR's going to go with because it's not clear and obvious.
Put it this way.
He clearly and obviously pushed him.
I think we're going to talk about Newcastle's players a little later.
Yeah.
The fellow who didn't push... Aubameyang for Arsenal's opening goal should be fined 2 weeks' wages.
Lazaro, yeah.
He's standing there staring at somebody scoring a goal. At least he's had a go.
It's a clear push, and it just feels like it's been swept under the carpet because it's Liverpool-Norwich, 55 points between them. Who cares?
I love the fact that at the moment, only Manchester City and Leicester, and who knows what's going to happen with City, they're the only ones who are now as nearer to Liverpool than they are to the relegation zone.
Yeah.
Everybody else is nearer the relegation. It's fantastic.
That's crazy.
Now, look, I'm the only person probably old enough in the room to have worked in a nationalised industry or stupid enough to have worked in a nationalised industry, but I felt particular qualms this week for the goings-on in Italy as a result. Maurizio Sarri... got upset about something, and he's upset the Italian Postal Service because he was asked about pressure. And he said, if I wanted to avoid, of course there's pressure, if I wanted to avoid pressure, I would have taken a job at the post office. Now, needless to say, for me it was British Rail, but needless to say, the post office workers, the lifeblood of the Italian system, have not taken this lying down. Their statement could not be more self-important, puffed up and po-faced if it tried. It says, and I won't do the Italian accent, it says, contrary to what Mr. Sarri claims, pressure does exist at the post office. It is responsible to citizens, businesses and public administrations. Post Italiana invites Mr. Sarri to spend a few minutes of his precious time discovering that the post office is the largest company in the country, chosen by young graduates as the most attractive company, recognised as one of 500 of the world's first companies to qualify for quality of life at work. We are waiting for him in one of our 15,000 centres so he can come and work in person. Now, first of all, the glamour of nationalised industries. I don't know whether you're all calling for the renationalisation of railways. I worked on railways when I nationalised.
Well, Chloe's basically Bernie Sanders. So
they were
yes
a bloody disgrace. People didn't do a stroke. I tried hard. Everybody else was doing two jobs while they were in there. The station masters were as corrupt as hell and the service was god-awful. So I don't think I want to return to that. But I felt sorry. Not for the postal workers in this case, but Mr. Sarri, you say what? It's a joke, wasn't it?
If there's one set of people you don't want to upset, it is the postal workers, hence the phrase going postal. So these are not people that you want to be upsetting. Not only do you not get your mail, but you also might get physically attacked down your street. Hopefully he's got lots of dogs. Because if he has lots of dogs, sorry.
Oh,
of course,
it's postal.
They can attack the postman.
It's
all
a
there.
Beano postal
this
joke.
This is some
yeah
of my postman material. It's not made the Type 5.
Yes. All right, so there we have our villains of the week. Cheeky Bagheeristain. Sadio Mane for his physical assault.
And the reaction to it as well.
Or Maurizio Sarri and his battle with the Italian Postal Service. Tom, because yours is the most lightweight, I'll let you see which of the others you might want to choose.
Well, the fact that mine's the most lightweight means I'm not going to win this. And I can't help but feel that Cheeky Bagheeristain has to, of all weeks, be villain of the week this week, considering he's just cost Man City three titles in the next Champions League and Guardiola and De Bruyne and everything else.
I'm inclined to agree. So Chloe's won that round. If we don't really compete like this, Chloe, there's no prizes, certainly. Cheeky Bagheeristain's our villain of the week.
Headed back across goal and Bolly's going to turn it in for 1-0 to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Leicester switched off at the set piece there. Nicely worked by Wolves. Well, there is a VAR check going on. You might have heard the stadium announcer say as much. Mike Dean is waiting for the decision. He makes the TV signal. And he says no goal.
Millimetres. It is absolutely millimetres.
Son's corner from the right in towards the near post. On the turn, it's lashed into the net. And the man who scored the own goal has now scored a proper goal. It's Toby Alderweireld.
Tom. Why don't you start with your because I like yours. I think it's got lovely legs.
This is something I've actually done, actually. Playing for Emblem FC against FC Tigers in 1998.
Where was this?
This is in the Chelmsford League.
What colours did Emblem wear?
Emblem used to wear a Celtic kit, which was the green and white hoops, white shorts, but then red socks. It was very odd. I didn't design it.
No.
I looked fantastic in it. As you can imagine, aggressive central defender. And against Tigers 1 week, I scored a wonderful goal. I say wonderful goal. Yeah. It was a tap-in from 3 yards out after a corner, but I give it a right old thump. but then a little bit later in the game, with the score 1-0, delicately poised, the cross came in from the left-hand side. I stretched out for it, centre-half, as you do, desperation, last few minutes. Popped the ball in my own net, didn't I?
Mm.
Own goal. Scored in both ends. And as a... What was I, about 11? I had a significant sulk for the next 20 minutes of the game and then ended up getting substituted because I was in a real huff. And the reason I bring this up is because not only has it done long-term psychological damage...
Which leads us to.
It's done long-term psychological damage, but it also leads me to Sunday's game of the season, or one of the most entertaining I've seen, at least, between Aston Villa and Tottenham Hotspur, and Toby Alderweireld. I love Toby Alderweireld for lots of reasons, mainly because on my computer, when I write Toby Alderweireld, it always autocorrects to Tony.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, I think of him as Tony Alderweireld. I don't know why.
Now, bear in mind, he's probably been up quite a lot this week. He had a new baby this week, didn't
he? Did,
he?
Yes. Yeah, so. He said to Laura Woods post-game he'd been awake for like the last 12 or 15 hours.
As demonstrated in Aston Villa's first goal.
He couldn't deal with that cross whatsoever. But he basically scored at both ends. So he scores the own goal to make it 1-0 to Aston Villa. He scores a brilliant goal, by the way, to make it 1-1 later in the game. And I just love players who score at both ends in the same game, because once you've scored an own goal, usually you are hell-bent on scoring the goal to make sure that what you did earlier on
doesn't affect the game. Does it matter to you which way round, though?
It does matter to me. I find it more enjoyable.
The redemptive second goal or the, oh, my God, I've blown
it's
the
redemption
goal.
Story that appeals to me.
Right.
Again, as a British football fan, it's all about redemption, the underdog. And I thought this really interesting. So I wonder how many times it's happened. Now, as we know, records only began in 1992 when the Premier League became a thing. I just can't find records beyond it. I would give you more. I just can't find them.
You really have got them all, have you?
I've got all the players to have scored at both ends in a Premier League game. I can also tell you whether they scored a goal for their team first or the own goal first, if you want.
Has anyone done it more than once?
In the list, there are no players to have done it more than once, but there are some tremendous names in here. There are some greats of the game.
Go on.
And there are also some players here that I don't know who they are.
I'll help you with that if I can.
So I can tell you the first one. I'd love some guesses. Yeah, okay. You can get some of these.
Oh.
But I'll tell you the first one. It happened on the 19th of March, 1994. It was for Chelsea against Liverpool. The own goal came first.
Frank Sinclair.
It's close.
No, I've got no guesses.
Oh, the answer is Craig Burley.
See, it nearly always has to be Frank Sinclair or Jamie Carragher because they got so many own goals.
If there's an own goal, it was probably going to be Frank Sinclair.
This was going to be my technique. I can't think of any people that, like, I don't have knowledge of them doing it.
But do you remember anyone doing it?
But I was just going to go for, like, Richard Dunn.
This is a very smart technique.
That's kind of my technique.
It's a very smart technique, and there are very similar names to Richard Dunn in this list.
David Dunn.
But there is no Richard Dunn. But I was at one of the games where it happened, which I found out from this list was on the 2nd of May 2010, where Carlton Cole did it for West Ham against Fulham. And he scored the own goal first. As I recall it was a corner that came in, it kind of came off his shoulder and went in. And then he scored the goal later on, which was a corner, it kind of came off his shoulder and went in. Like all goals by Carlton Cole.
Any Crystal Palace players in there to reminisce about?
No, it's not a great... I mean, it's Premier League, and there's not much Crystal Palace to talk about.
I can't think of any that have done it. My first was going to be most... own goals was going to be my technique, and then I was just going to go for like sort of calamitous sort of hubris defenders, so I think David Luiz might be on there.
David Luiz is not on the list as a man who's done it at both ends in the Premier League, at least.
Mamadou Sakho.
I mean, there's good names here.
Give us some more names.
So you're not far off.
Someone like Socrates or Mustafi, just like tragic players that bad things always happen
to. Everything you're saying is right,
yeah,
but the names aren't.
Okay.
But conceptually, you're spot on here.
Yeah, you're winning the argument.
Yeah, you've won the argument, Bernie, absolutely. So there's a few names that have done it. Some incredible ones in here.
Go on.
So the most recent before this weekend was Craig Cathcart for Watford against Crystal Palace, which was last January. It's also been done by such luminaries as Troy Deeney for Watford against Man United.
You're always expected to be centre-halves, not centre-forwards.
Not always, but we've got some good centre-halves in here. John Terry did it for Chelsea against Everton. Olivier Giroud for Arsenal against Sunderland. Johnny Evans for United against Newcastle. Wayne Rooney did it in 2012 for United against Stoke City. But there's some other names in here that I don't know who they are. For Hull City against Sunderland in 2009, Camille Zayate, anybody?
No.
Okay, I'm going to remember this for next time I write a pub quiz.
Yeah.
There's another one here in 2003 for Southampton against Fulham, Michael Svensson,
these are players who come and go probably did only appearance for...
Back in 1998, a current Premier League manager did this.
Okay.
Well, do you want to move on? I know there's other things to get to, but give me...
This is a great list. Chris Wilder.
It's good, but it's not right, as Roy Carson might have said. A current Premier League manager was in the Premier League in 1998.
Oh.
Brucey.
Oh, it's so close. It's, again, a really good answer.
Thank you.
I mean, you would win no money in a quiz, but everyone would go, she was such a good player. The answer... Frank Lampard.
I was going
for West Ham against Leicester in 1998.
Well, just to take you beyond the birth of, and thank you, that was magnificent. Beyond
really
the
I worked for this show. League, this was afternoon's research.
One of the reasons why I have spent so much time not on psychology and psychologists, but just generally drinking too much, is the 1987 FA Cup final, where one of the very few football matches I've ever attended where I knew Spurs were going to win. Obviously, we're going to beat Coventry and win the FA Cup. They lost the FA Cup,
of course,
3-2, and I think I'm right saying Gary Mabbott scored at both ends. And so I've actually seen it in a cup final.
You know, the worst thing is that that's such a great story. There's no way I can verify it because I'm one of those hated people for the older football fan. In that, just because of my age, 92 is the first year that I kind of remember football, mm-hmm. so I only remember Premier League yep. and Premier League era things.
Yeah, it's like being a climate change denier, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I remember it was 5 degrees yesterday, and it was 5 degrees today last year, so I'm going to drive a petrol car forever.
We're of a generation that the FA Cup isn't fun for us, basically.
No, yeah, it's horrible. That. It's a horrible thing.
No, it's yeah. fine. I totally get that.
Play it in January. I'm not doing that again, but play it in January.
I can't go through that cup final anymore. It was too painful. Chloe, I'll do the next one because my hero of the week, it's our only kind of VAR nod this week. My hero of the week is Connor Cody because after Mike Dean disallowed Wolves' goal for offside, well, he didn't. Stockley Park disallowed the goal. Having watched football, Chloe...
It's actually West London HQ now. Yeah, we don't call it
Stockley
Park.
Yeah, the West London HQ.
It's West London
having
HQ.
Having watched football for half a century, some of it in black and white, I was astonished that having believed that you can't pass the ball backwards and be offside... Then I didn't think he was offside. Then it was not an integral part of the move. But that was, we said it before on this program. I begged for VAR to come in, and now it's just horrible. Mm. But Connor Cody, to his credit, decided to go over to the referee, the ever reliable Mike Dean, at half time. So it was close to half time, wasn't it, when it happened? And he said to him, "What the hell was that then?"
Yeah.
And so Mike Dean, our leading referee, I suppose.
Yeah. Who else would you put into the list?
I don't know, he
Oliver,
said.
Oliver, maybe Moss?
I don't know. I was told in my earpiece disallowed a goal due to VAR, which Cody said, addressing a wider global audience.
Are you doing this in Scouts or not?
No. You tried earlier on.
You're rejecting a lot of accents today.
I am.
You did the Italian in the green room, but not here. It's fine.
He's the referee, and he doesn't know why it was disallowed. And he spoke for us there, Connor, like some kind of Shakespearean character for every man and woman, child and dog, listening to that conversation. He didn't know why it was disallowed, nor did Stockley Park really. They were guessing there as some kind of... And of course, what I hated about it as well... Sorry, this is Hero of the Week. But what I hated about it was the post-engineering, the backwards engineering of the commentators. Steve McManaman, I think, was one of them, wasn't it? Oh, well, you can see now, yeah, clearly it's a correct decision. It's just unfortunate for the game. In what way was it a correct decision? It was not the correct decision, and I will go to my grave, possibly sooner than I hope, saying that. But well done for Connor Cody for saying to the referee, go on, give us a clue. Why did you disallow it? And he hadn't a clue, one.
As you say, we don't want to do a full VAR thing. I think all of us would probably headbutt the wall. But yeah. I do want to mention this again. I was watching Villa Tottenham today, and the penalty is given for Tottenham, the Engels challenge, all of that. Referee's not given it. Assistant referee hasn't given it. It gets overturned on VAR. And again, it highlighted to me, all this needs to be is the referee keeps their iPhone in their pocket and they've got the game on, their Sky Go or whatever. Yeah. And all they do is go, was that a penalty? I'm a bit far away. Hold on. Watch it for a few seconds and make a decision. That's the whole thing. That's all we need. We don't need West London HQ.
Engels goes in. The lad goes over. Bergvine. And he... half appeals. No Spurs player appeal?
No.
Mm. I'm watching the television. Spurs are playing badly. They could lose. I didn't appeal. It wasn't...
If the referee doesn't call for review, let's just get on with it. That's all this needs to be. And that is so simple in Italy this week. So you would have seen the whole thing about the Ronaldo bicycle kick. It hit the Milan player's arm. Penalty was given. Blah, blah, blah. Well, now the Italian Football Federation have written to IFAB, the International Federation, blah, blah, blah.
Incidentally, IFAB, what a brilliant name
terrible
in the modern
name.
World.
Terrible name.
As good as cheeky.
So they have written, they've written to IFAB and they have said, we are open to trialling, what would you call it, yellow flags on the pitch.
Yeah, appeals.
Appeals,
yeah.
Thank you. They are open.
Challenges.
They are open to... trialing in Serie A appeals to VAR calls. So getting rid of how they do it and just having a yellow flag, NFL style, throw it on the pitch.
Oh,
and
I like
Rizzo
that.
Sarri
it's like a
it.
Sort of Shakespearean gauntlet.
Yeah.
Like a kind of I bite my thumb at thee, sir, kind of vibe going on.
It's got a real feel
throw it
of...
down and start a punch up.
It's got a real feel of Gladiator standing on the top. I've always thought now, if we're not going to do what I want, which is iPhones in the pocket, it's just to
and
a panel
FA
of
Cup
fans.
In January.
Just to, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the other thing I want. Yeah. This show is going to get my agenda out there. The other thing is now, all which should be now is just a panel of fans, and when they decide it's a penalty or not, they just do the thumbs. It's people who hate football, so get random people from the street.
What? So like a footballing jury?
Yeah, just a footballing
Everyone
jury.
Everyone gets called up for
and
jury.
And it's like dressed
service.
To impress. Like, they basically have the friends up there. I like this outfit.
You'd be amazed at how resistant people are to proper change like that.
Yeah.
My plan, that's I don't care how much the players earn. I want them to be paid whatever they're worth, and it's entertainment and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I want it properly distributed. My plan is, given these days of high technology and mobile phones being as complicated and brilliant as they are, that each week at the end of the home games, the Spurs, Daniel Levy takes all the cash the Spurs squad are due, call it 6 million, 8 million quid, whatever it is, and in a wheelbarrow, wheels it out to the middle of the pitch. The players line up, and we vote on who gets the percentage of the money.
This is now, good.
Except that Harry Kane would have all the money and everyone else would be dancing outside tube stations for dough most weeks, right?
Be a great job of Serge Aurier. He's got wonderful moves.
So, well,
he'd make more money as a dancer than he would a footballer.
Would have to improve because every week he'd be left with a few bits of things lying in the bottom. Dust and gold quavers lying in the bottom of the wheelbarrow. Why can't we do that? But no, not even a response to my letter about that. What is your hero of the week, Chloe?
My hero of the week basically plays on the absence of a title race. It's the race for fifth place is my hero of the week.
Fifth place now. Brilliant, isn't it?
This is the exciting thing that we've got going on with all the Man City stuff in mind. Fifth place is looking likely to be getting the Champions League spot, which means...
Sorry.
That's okay. That Sheffield United now have more of a chance of Champions League qualification, 17%, than Roma, 15%, and Napoli, 2%. Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
Chris Wilder's Sheffield United could be going to the Champions League.
I hope it happens in many ways. Not because I love Sheffield United and their wonderful brand of football and the 3-5-2 and all, isn't that centre-half up the wing? Isn't it amazing? No. I hope it happens because I'll never forgive Sheffield United for the Tevez affair in 2006. As far as I'm concerned, they still owe West Ham £25 million. but also, if they get in the Champions
League
next year...
You should take that to the Court of Arbitration for Sport.
I will. I'll make sure I get a lawyer on it. I know several that are going to be very busy soon. I'll call up Cheeky Bagheristan to see if he's got anyone spare. But then they'll get in the Champions League, and of course, what will happen? Your league form will dip away.
Yeah.
They'll get knocked out in the group stage and finish 20th. It's the perfect scenario. Thank you, Cheeky. You saved us all.
The thing I'm enjoying about it is the outrage when Arsene Wenger said, of course, fourth place is a trophy.
Yeah.
Now, in Britain, in England rather, we're going to say, fifth place, that's a trophy as well now. How far down can we make this work? Will 14th be some kind of shield very soon?
To be honest, as a Palace fan, 14th would be a trophy. I'll take it.
That's where you're going to finish as well.
Perennially 14th.
Exactly. I really hope so.
Oh, you're not worried about going down, are you?
Absolutely. We're absolutely appalling.
Yeah. And ever since Wilfred Zaha cut his hair, it's gone. The magic is gone.
Samson.
It's like Samson. It's like Billy's boots.
Because of my patchy attendance record on this podcast, I don't know Chloe very well. I enjoyed that crease you can put in your head when you mentioned Crystal Palace in your forehead. That was very good.
It honestly pains me. Palace pain me. And I would like to know my... Just set out the story early that I'm a real pessimist when it comes to Palace. That will be a theme that runs across my appearances.
Okay, then. So our heroes of the week are...
Pessimism.
Fifth place.
Yeah.
The players who score at both ends. And Connor Cody for having the sense to ask the referee, what the hell was that for? Chloe, which one are you going to go for? You can go for your own, of course.
Connor Cody.
Oh.
I have done about an hour's research on this today and gave you a quiz as well in my section.
To be fair, what happened in that silence where I was deciding, I forgot. I forgot what you'd said. So then
you
did a long list of made up footballers who've scored at both ends.
I mean, that was a fun game. I changed my mind.
Thank you.
Tom for the win.
I'm going to vote Connor Cody. What do you think?
I thought your list was so brilliant and exhaustive that I'm going to go for that. I think players scoring at both ends deserve to win.
Congratulations.
And I'll end this first half of the podcast. Thank you all for listening and downloading. Don't forget, still the second half to come with the news that I've now changed my long-held ambition to become a rapper. I'm still going to become a rapper, but my new name will be Cheeky IFAB.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18 plus, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Arsenal running away with it in stoppage time. It's his first in 10 matches. It's Arsenal 4, Newcastle 0.
Couldn't see never it was going to be a 4-0, but for the first half in particular, I was very, very pleased the way we played. Second half, unfortunately, we have given poor goals away, which is not like us.
Such is the negativity of this programme. And again, we thank you all for the record numbers of you downloading the podcast, that we tend to always go for the worst performance before the performance of the week. This week, no difference, I'm afraid. And I'll start the opening with this one. We saw the game between Aston Villa and Spurs. It was 41 shots at goal, basketball, nobody could defend. And the uselessness of the defenders and the brilliance of the game as a televisual event overlooked something else that was going on in that game. The battle between two players who 4 years ago, 3 years ago, one of them was winning the Premier League title. The other was an absolute mainstay in England's midfield. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Danny Drinkwater and Eric Dier.
Oh, yeah.
How can players who, I mean, Dier's tackle on Sergio Ramos, the larger in chief of Spain's tiki-taka team that led to England getting three goals while the rest of them looked around each other. Oh, again, I won't attempt the Spanish. What the hell was that? Sergio, how did you end up in stands there? What happened there? Eric Dier was like a, I mean, I was a Spurs fan. He was a monster for about 2 years in the middle of that Spurs defence with Dembele and people like that. Nothing could be done with him. Now, the poor man, I've got to be careful here because footballers losing their form, they're a fair game. He had an illness as well, which I don't think he's fully recovered from. But he doesn't look like he's going to recover from it. But even he looked like Patrick Vieira compared to Danny Drinkwater. Now, Drinkwater D played in midfield in that great Leicester midfield. It makes you wonder how good a player N'Golo Kante really is, doesn't it? What did you make of Drinkwater's performance?
I think Danny Drinkwater, in that season, we talk about N'Golo Kante and all that, blah, blah, blah. Danny Drinkwater was phenomenal. Like, he was great in that season. I was covering so many of the games. I remember one where he scored from the outside of the area on the half volley. I think it was against Liverpool, superb goal. Like, he was great. It was against City, when they beat City. He was phenomenal in so many games. So let's not undersell 2016. The 2020 version of Danny Drinkwater. I mean, the fact he can't turn around, he can't do a two-yard pass. There was a bit in the game, and I really remember it well, because I remember thinking, oh, Drinkwater wants the ball. That's really exciting. So he gets the ball, and he passes it left. He then runs over to that side, where I think Gilbert was the guy on it, and he says, give it to me feet, give it to me feet, like he's got an option ahead of him. And he gets it to his feet, and then he goes back to Gilbert, and then just backs away from it. Like he had no idea what he was going to do with the ball. And it was sad. It saddened me.
But that just smacks of a man that has absolutely no confidence because he's had two seasons of sitting not even on the bench.
But I don't understand confidence in professional football. I hear it all the time from ex-pros and sort of more highly paid pundits than myself. Then they say, oh, he's lost confidence. So what? Training is supposed to overcome. The reason soldiers train is no matter what the pressure, you still repeat the same actions. Passing a football, you've trained week in, week out since you're 11 to do it.
But
I lost confidence.
But footballers are human and can...
Oh, this is a new concept. Come on. Explain yourself.
They can be susceptible to the fallibility of human psychology like the rest of us, surely. And you see it in players all the time that they're just panicking because, you know, they've got into their own heads about...
The trouble is with that is that now the most average player you can imagine owns a Lamborghini. And I can't allow them to tell me, oh, I didn't feel very confident today.
I've got a Lamborghini, but no confidence.
I can't allow it. I just can't allow that to happen. Also, it fell apart for Danny Drinkwater when he opened a restaurant in Manchester. And his name is Drinkwater, right? And so Drinkwater, so obviously the restaurant should be called Eat Food, Drink Water.
Food,
it's obvious. It's absolutely obvious. And he called the restaurant Food Well.
That's because he's lost his confidence.
Well.
He's lost confidence.
If he had the confidence, he'd be sitting in his Lamborghini thinking, I've got to call it Eat Well, haven't I? I have to.
Chloe, you're a comedian, right?
Yes.
When you go out on that stage, the light hits your face, the crowd, sparse though it may be, or an enormous, enormous dome full of human beings.
That's the right one.
Yeah, quite. You don't think, oh, I've got no confidence for this now. You go and you tell your jokes. They laugh. You walk off waving.
You get in your Lamborghini, you drive home.
Yeah, but you go out there and you do a good job, but it doesn't mean that you don't have that voice in the back of your head going like, you're absolutely rubbish. And I think that sometimes if you let that little voice in, then that's when you start playing the like easy pass rather than doing something a bit more.
Is the easy pass like a knock knock joke for you?
Yeah, the easy pass.
You go, oh no, tangerine. Oh no, it's the wrong one. It's orange. Oh no.
My dog's got no nose, that kind of thing.
The good material.
Danny Drinkwater is my dog's got no nose in at the moment, right? He's just playing the simple pass.
Tommy, I've known you a little while, so the question, this is the most redundant question.
Yeah.
Have you ever lost any confidence?
Yeah, when I was... I still have a recurring nightmare about the day I was booed off at the Comedy Store, and that still comes to me during the dark moments all the time.
Could you not remember the dog nose joke?
If only I had that Danny Drinkwater moment, I could have come up with some main material. But unfortunately, I got a third red card and went over to my colleague and said, was that good? And they went, no.
Well, I hope this is an agenda thing, but I want to thank Chloe for being the first person on the show to introduce the idea that footballers are human beings. We've taken us back from the enormously combative place we normally occupy.
Are we allowing it, though? We're not accepting it.
No, I'm thanking you for bringing the concept to the table.
But the concept is rejected from the table because they're automatons in Lamborghinis.
No, I'm happy to put it at the end of the table and look at it for a while and see if it gets any light. what do we actually know with that? So that's the worst performance in his Drinkwater and Dyer. We haven't got time for the others. Chloe, you want to pick a football team.
I want to pick a football team. Danny Drinkwater's former team, Leicester.
Have they lost confidence?
Listen.
Or are
listen.
They rubbish?
They feel like a pair of curtains. That's what it is.
I'm all about compassion, a person-centred approach, you know, thinking about the mitigating circumstances, okay? Leicester. It's Friday night. It's the beginning of a lessened weekend of football. Mm-hmm. You're thinking, let's have a high scoring one, let's have an exciting one. No, we've got a 0-0. Okay, that's what we've got. Leicester Wolves 0-0. And I wanted to kind of talk about how this has been part of a downturn in Leicester's season. They were storming. And I guess maybe it's that we talk about Man City losing focus from the season because they can't win the league, but they're probably going to get Champions League nat football. Leicester probably have the same thing. They're just sitting pretty in third spot. Nothing bad's going to happen to them. But it also coincides with Brendan Rodgers signing a new deal. Has he stepped his foot off the pedal? I don't know. Also coincides with Wilfred Ndidi being injured.
And Choudhury got sent off, didn't he, Friday night? His replacement. The main cover for the back line is Ndidi. I think he's been their best player, most consistent player all season long.
Yes,
he's
Ndidi.
Made Tielemans good. He's all there.
Yeah. There's one full of confidence.
See, I never get booed off at the Comedy Store.
Why?
No. Well, you didn't use my terrible material, did you? But he's made Tielemans better, Madison better, mm-hmm, Vardy better, mm-hmm, the defenders better. Everyone looks better. And Ndidi's gone. Choudhury, God love him. He's a good player, a bit of a thug. But he's also not very mobile. He's basically Tom Huddleston. You know, he's a nice passer of the ball, but he like ambles around.
Better hair than Tom.
50-50.
Okay.
He's on the path to being Huddleston. That's going to be cornrows very soon. You know it is.
Again, it's a child of the 70s. I love a large afro.
You're an afro man.
Right now, and where am I? Somewhere between very little hair and no hair.
Yeah.
As befits a man of my age. When I sit down in the bars and they always go, it's a lady, she's Polish, she always says to me, so what would you like? Also, big afro, please. And just sit there. Go on, then. Do your worst.
Someone get me the glue.
It might suit your...
I always give her a big tip because I know the joke is so bad. I've lost confidence in my joke now.
But it might suit your rap alter ego.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cheeky iFab. Yeah.
Cheeky iFab, yeah.
Yeah, featuring Cheeky iFab. Initially, I'll just do some feature raps. With Cheeky iFab.
Can I just say of Hamza Choudhury, he's one of those players that is being tipped to play in that holding role for England, which shows just how devoid of a holding role for England we are.
You mean
are.
He's going to fill the Eric Dier gap?
He's going to fill the Declan Rice gap when we finally concede that he's not good enough.
The good news is that I have found Declan Rice's Irish passport, which is fantastic news for all of us involved, but it has halved his value, but then relegation will do that too.
So, the worst performance so far, we've been talking about Leicester. off the back of their manager, getting even more money to do more cosmetic surgery. Danny Drinkwater, bless him. I'm taking Eric Dyer back out of it next. I love Eric Dyer.
Yeah.
I absolutely love him.
He's funny as well, isn't he? He's a funny guy. You know, his social media is funny. His interviews are funny. I want to like him.
Yeah, yeah. So, he's having a bad time at the moment.
He lost
who are you one of your worst performers?
I've got to do Newcastle United. On the back of the preview show this week, which I was on, I did a diatribe which led Sam Matterface to call
diatribe.
Me.
Eric Diatribe.
Very nice.
That's really nice.
Confidence is back. That's
good. Yeah, I know, yeah. it doesn't go for long with me.
Sam Matterface
called me... Misguided confidence is my unwieldy middle name.
Sam Matterface called me the most negative person that he knew following my diatribe about Newcastle United, in that I think they are the worst team ever to be nowhere near relegation threatened in Premier League history. They are just so incipiently negative, and it's awful to watch. And you watch them against Newcastle United on Sunday, they've got three players now who are eccentric, chaotic, exciting. Almiron, you know, what a lunatic this guy is. He's the perfect under-13 footballer. He can beat everybody with these bits of skill. And then he goes, I don't know, and jumps on the ground. Same with Son Maximin. I loved him. Lazaro, fair enough, he can't defend and his legs are too far apart when he's trying to defend. Yeah. But going forward, he looked quite exciting.
He's not doing the Tory power stance. At full
no, he
back,
didn't
is
go
he?
Full. He didn't go full Saj. Never go full Saj. That's the important thing. They'll have Rivi Shanak.
What about his,
Shanak,
what about his attempt to challenge Aubameyang for that header for the first goal?
It was bad. But I don't blame him, because he's in the wrong position, because Steve Bruce plays the 9-0-1 formation.
Yeah.
And it just sickens me. And a few games in this season, he said, you know what? We're more expansive in war games, and we decided that we couldn't do it. And so I've gone really negative. And that is going to get him survival, and that's fine. And if you're a Newcastle fan and you're happy with it, that's fine. But I have to watch games. I have to sit through them and analyse them and do the commentary
of them.
All
right, let me ask you a question.
It's appalling.
Then. Would you prefer to watch Burnley being efficiently negative, or Newcastle United trying to be negative with three, let's be fair, so psychedelic players in their team?
I have a huge soft spot for Burnley, which means I would rather watch Sean Dyche and the lads every week.
You're just afraid of him, aren't you? That's why you're saying this. You're just afraid of him, yeah.
Of course I am.
He knows where TalkSport is.
He dresses like a policeman, and he's obviously going to be a bouncer when he eventually gets sacked from Burnley in 75 years from now.
Yeah.
So,
the thing is, Newcastle could be so exciting.
They could.
It reminds me of like the Palace era when it was Bolasie and Zaha, and it was just like chaos, because you'd sit in deep, and then as soon as you get a little sniff of a chance to go forward, they would just run in all directions. You wouldn't know what's coming or what's hitting you. And Saint-Maximin could, under a good manager, Saint-Maximin could be brilliant. He's got all of the qualities of Adama Traore, the pace, the power. But as soon as he gets that final third and he actually has to do something with the ball, he doesn't have a clue.
Well, he looks up and sees Jo Linton and then he sees 40 yards of green grass and goes, I might as well just keep my head down and try and beat five more players. Like, he is the best player, and they have three of the best players in playground football. And Steve Bruce has no idea how to do it, because when everyone else was having fun at the playground, he was probably like smoking around the back of the bike sheds being cool, when he should have been out playing football with the lads. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, apart from that great goal he got in the, it was in the FA Cup. I haven't seen him as a footballer because I can't get past the complication of his tonsorial arrangements. what is going on there? But a mixture of,
are you his dentist?
Cornrows.
He's his tonsils out.
Bits of material in his hair, and is it a headband or is
He has a selection of fantastic
headbands. Or is it some one of those things, that visors that croupiers wear? What's going on with him?
There was a big story about him earlier in the season with his Gucci headband.
Gucci, yeah.
And he's actually advertising Gucci, but not on purpose. He literally bought it in the shops, and they had to write to him and say, like, and this may have been total nonsense, but someone told me that they had to write to him and say, is this a contract from Gucci?
Yeah.
And he just said, no, I just got a bunch of them. Do you want to look at them? And he's got a huge wardrobe full of headbands.
Come and look at my Gucci headbands.
And now, engravings was always a bad chat up line, but do you want to come back and see my Gucci headbands?
But he does take a moment in a Lamborghini, so that will work.
And now then, worst performance, Leicester, Danny Drinkwater, or Newcastle? I do understand the power of going first with your decision, but it's my turn, and I'm sticking with Danny Drinkwater. Chloe?
I feel rather compelled by Danny Drinkwater.
Mm. Oh, bless him. That's it. And that's Danny Drinkwater, yeah?
Not that it matters, but I do agree.
Okay, well, that's absolutely unanimous then.
There's a chance here for Son. He's the way down the left-hand side. Son's young man in for Spurs. Match winner! Son has won it in the fourth minute of added time. and Spurs do get the winning goal right at the end of this game.
Westwood whips it in towards that near post area. Oh, and Burnley have the opening goal inside 90 seconds. The corner from Westwood went right through the six-yard area, and it's Southampton 0, Burnley 1, a goal which owed so much to the conditions. Westwood's corner has gone straight in.
Right, on to our performance of the week. We'll hopefully get something a little bit more positive here. And Tom, actually, we mentioned Burnley. Mm. And if you'd asked me at the start of the season, when we start making these programmes, these podcasts, you'd asked me, who do you think will be in performance of the week? I probably got to 300 players before I got to the one that you're about to extol, of whom you're about to extol the virtues.
Yeah, I have to do this because this player is like my Matthew McConaughey. Like, he's my Ben Affleck. He's my Lana Del Rey. In that there was a point in time where I decided that person was useless.
And you're right about McConaughey. Right? McConaughey, you're absolutely right about him. Rumbling.
I decided that all these people were just dreadful. And then Affleck, of course, won the Oscar for Argo. He's here right now. He's made The Gentleman since, which is awful, but of course, Dallas Buyers Club. You know, he's great in the movie.
Very good.
Lana Del Rey, new album. Sam beat Rockwell.
You can't watch the thing
phenomenal
about space. He just mumbles the whole time.
You know,
she's always been great, just as a dispute.
But I did see her live around the time of Video Games, and it was just the most horrendous. It was an awful gig. But the album that came out recently is a phenomenal listen. Anyway, the reason I bring
these things up.
No, I can't, unfortunately, but it's fantastic, and I highly recommend it. But the reason I bring this up is because when you've decided someone's awful at something, it's very hard to get over that fact.
Yeah.
And this weekend, doing the commentary of the game between Southampton and Burnley, I had a Matthew McConaughey moment for Ashley Westwood, right? So I remember when he came to Aston Villa from Crewe, when they got relegated, Villa, and he was in an awful midfield with Carlos Sanchez, who is the worst footballer I've ever watched. Genuinely appalling footballer.
Who does he play for now?
He's still getting employed for West Ham, $65,000 a week, and he's just abysmal.
Do you know that for a fact? 65 grand?
65 grand a week. So, I mean, so the accepted consciousness is, I haven't spoken to his accountant, but that's what he's written down.
He's got 65 grand's worth of confidence every week.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
And I think I'll be quite confident with that.
But it's not done any good for Carlos Sanchez. And the reason I bring this up is because I hated him so much. And I think since then, whenever I've done a game that he's been involved in, I've watched him thinking, like, he's useless. And people ask me about Burnley, and I say, Jack Cork carries that midfield. All the creativity comes from Goodmanson or McNeil or something. It's only Barnes and Wood, everyone else is rubbish. And I watched him play against Southampton in the midst of Storm Dennis.
Hang on, I hate to stop you.
Stop me.
You have discussions about the creativity of Burnley's midfield.
Yes, I do. That's what pays my mortgage. But this is the key thing.
That is not the number one thing about their team, their midfield's creativity.
No,
although
but
McNeil might make a decent player.
But I did recently do a programme about which teams were most improved in the Premier League. I did a full hour on Burnley's improvements, which is why this is in my mind. And even then, I still didn't count Ashley Westwood in that list.
Have you ever publicly lashed him, excoriated him?
During commentary, I have said I thought he was not a Premier League player.
Would you apologise to him?
I apologise wholeheartedly.
World of apologies, it's boring, isn't it? Everyone has to apologise for everything now.
But I do take everything I ever said about Ashley Westwood back, because I thought in the midst of Storm Dennis, not only like the almighty god Neptune was he able to control the elements and force the ball into the net from the corner by harnessing the rain and the wind and throwing that ball in, it wasn't about McCarthy, it wasn't about Danny Ings jumping out the way and losing their bearings, it was about the supernatural powers of Ashley Westwood. And he also runs the game. He's tackling, he's energetic, he's powerful, he's creative. He ran such a hard game of football against Southampton on Saturday, and I'm watching him thinking, I mean, he was actually Burnley's player of the year last year, and even then I scoffed and balked and thought there's no way this guy should get player of the year. Everyone else must be useless.
Mm-hmm.
But I've now decided that Ashley Westwood is a legitimate footballing phenomenon, and he is the answer to England's issue in holding midfield for the European Championships forthcoming. He is better than Declan Rice, and he's got better hair than Hamza Chowdhury. He's my man.
I love the fact that you've been human enough. I mean, honestly, Chloe's introduced the idea of being human now on this programme. You've been human enough to admit you were slightly wrong about Ashley Westwood.
Yes, from Westworld to Westwood.
Because my brother, Andrew, I wouldn't say he was a genius at football analysis or anything, but he took against Neymar. Now, of course, Neymar's a nuisance these days.
He didn't get invited to the sister's birthday, did he?
He took against Neymar very early in his career, an Arsenal fan, and just said, Neymar, he's absolutely useless. And as Neymar got better and better and better and starts to dominate international matches and Champions League games, the rest of it, he just could not back down.
No.
And we'd watch a game, Neymar would do something brilliant, just text him. about that Neymar's useless, isn't he? And he would go, absolutely he is. Don't be fooled by this. And he's kept this up ever since. Now, of course, it's come round that Neymar is actually a git, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's big of you to back down. Who's your performance of the week?
My performance of the week, I've taken a bit of license with the brief, and I've gone for Bjorn Engels because he made himself the centre of
attention.
Now
you're part of our show.
Thank you.
This already makes no sense to me. I'm looking forward to this. Here we go. Chloe, tell us.
I'm going for the dumb, stupid answer just so that I feel like I blend in here.
Just trying to reduce our confidence.
But basically, if this was a TV episode, right, if this was a TV series, then Bjorn Engels
Fat
would
chance.
Be... the game, not this podcast.
No, not with this budget.
So Bjorn Engels would be our flawed hero, right? He'd sort of be our Jack Bauer because he's got involvement in three goals. Three goals, that's a huge involvement. So he gave the penalty away.
Thanks, VAR.
Thanks, VAR. Stephen Bergwijn. Was it Stephen Bergwijn?
Yeah. Yes.
It was?
Even I wasn't appealing for that.
No.
No one was. No one was. And VAR has just been a little bit oversensitive, I think. Then he obviously got the redemptive goal, a lovely header at the opposite end.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah, he did. I was going to say something else, but it would have taken us on a whole other track, and I want to hear step three.
Well, step three, I'm basically just...
Where you defend a guy who can't trap a ball when he's going directly to him in the last minute with Heung-min Son on his shoulder.
Thus making one of the most entertaining games of the season have its perfect season finale, its climax, you know? It's everything that we wanted to see as West Ham and Palace fans that don't want to get relegated. Okay?
How much did you celebrate that goal by Heung-min Son on Sunday?
Basically, what happened was Tottenham knocked in a free kick in like the 93rd minute.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's over. So I walked out to my bedroom, walked back in again. And I think you text me and I was like, what? How have I missed this? So my reaction was sort of annoyance at myself, but a sense of happiness that Palace maybe are going to get.
It is amazing how all of us with our... fantastic educations and stable backgrounds and erudite vocabularies, when it comes to our own club, we just cannot see past the end of our own noses, can we? After the Spurs winner went in, Matt Scott, who works on Talk Sport, he's a brilliant analyst of the game's finance and all the rest of it, but he is nuts about Arsenal. Yeah. I mean, I'm using the word nuts here. Yeah.
Blinded, some would say.
I have no medical qualifications, but he appears to me to be nuts about Arsenal.
Yeah.
And he immediately tweeted out, how bleeping lucky are Tottenham after the winner? And I thought...
78 shots, didn't he?
The away team has had a shot every 44 seconds here in this game. It could have been 6-4.
Spurs were phenomenal, mainly because Bjorn Engels is such a terrible defender. I love the attempt to try and cast him as a modern-day Heracles. I enjoyed it, but this is absolutely no way.
It was in the spirit of this podcast where you'll try anything once.
You can't have Hero of the Week for a guy who couldn't just give it a hoof in the 94th minute.
We're living in like the post-hero age, right? Like, look at Joker. But look at Joker, getting all of these plaudits at the award ceremonies. We don't want a straightforward narrative of a hero. We want someone flawed. We want someone with depth.
At centre half, I want no flaws. That's pretty much my main prerequisite. I don't need you to be entertaining. I don't need to be a good footballer. I need you to be able to clear it.
But
that's the main job.
I do like in that game the inversion of the usual Mourinho teams in that they can't defend for peanuts, but they're playing like all of these incredible expressive players. Moura, Son,
as
Ali.
I said, but when this all was, I mean, I cried on air when they sacked Pochettino. But I'm a very emotional Celtic guy, right?
Yeah.
And I had a row with Jamie O'Hara and all the rest of it.
That's easily done.
And somebody said, I think maybe Jamie said, after I'd finished accusing of all sorts of things, he said, well, of course, he will now change Spurs, talking about his winning mentality and all the rest of it. And I remember leaning into the microphone, very close to it, going, I've watched this team for half a century. I guarantee Spurs will change him. And now, I don't think he's ever been involved. So only 4-3s, 3-2s. No. He looks at is he called Sacramento, the guy who's his assistant? I don't even know who he is, from Lille. He turns to him and goes, what's happening now? You can see he has no clue.
We've gone full
what's
Spurs.
What's happening? Bless him.
Never go full Spurs.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, since the running theme of this programme has been confidence, I'm very delighted because Ashley Westwood was just a personal apology by you. It wasn't really.
He was also fantastic and should be in the England squad.
It wasn't really an appeal for performance of the week. Bjorn Engels, we've admitted, was a surreal effort. Thank you very much, Niamh, for that. So it was great confidence. I put forward to you the performance of the week is a holiday destination because in the middle of the so-called winter break, not allowing for FA Cup, of course, spilling into it and all the rest of it, we've had the... what is it? Is it a principality? Is it a kingdom, isn't it? Dubai.
It is.
The state of Dubai.
Yes, one of the six Emirati.
It is. Mm. It is. It's an Emirati. Thank you very much indeed. It is the one that has performed best during the past week or two because of the kind of English footballers or English-based footballers who've made their way there to continue their physical development and their mental relaxation towards the second or third of the season. I'll give you Jack Grealish,
yep.
James Maddison, mm-hmm. Tammy Abraham,
oh, yeah.
Ben Chilwell,
the lads.
Ryan Sessegnon.
All the
Ryan,
boys.
Incidentally, you've only played two games all season. You don't need a midweek break in Dubai. Stay training at Spurs.
Is this a winter break or a stag do? What is this?
Rashford was there.
Oh, now we're stagging.
All the boys. All the team who were the under-20s 3 or 4 years ago and their pals were all there. Now look.
Do you think they got T-shirts?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they...
Prem boys on tour.
I'm sure they behaved impeccably. Yep. Is that the word I'm looking for? Oh, horribly.
That's the word.
Yeah. Put it another way, horribly.
What happens on the palm stays on the palm.
I mean, obviously... The picture of James Maddison drinking out what appears to be somebody's shoe, is that right? Sorry, someone just handed me a phone with a picture, but I pressed the wrong button. You've got a superhero on your phone as your screensaver, Mr. Producer. Who is that? I've got a picture of my cat in a wheelbarrow, but each to their own, you know.
Yeah.
Chloe wins.
KFC.
Yeah.
She's got a... Oh, incidentally, are you a real fan of KFC? Is that some kind of gag?
No, I'm a big fan of KFC. I think your background should be what your heart most desires.
Have you been watching...
Blackness.
Have you been watching the T20 cricket?
Yes, little bit.
Live commentary, of course, out here on Talk Sports Network.
Yeah, very good commentary.
The sponsors are KFC.
Yeah.
And the best thing about that is, at the side of the playing area for the cricket, the competition winners and the players are forced to do their interviews in a giant KFC bucket.
Nice.
And I mean, it's two stories high, ladies and gentlemen, with a massive slit in the side of it so they can see out to the cricket. It's as big as the press centre at Lord's, but it's a KFC bucket.
You need to
buy that to live in.
Do you think that they might be selling it off after the conclusion of T20?
I mean, do you like your current abode? Or would you prefer to live in a giant KFC bucket?
Not as much as I would love to live in a bucket. I think, I get the smells pumped in as well.
Oh, we must get
the great thing about the tournament, though, is that if you get 100 in this tournament, you actually get the secret recipe for the 6 herbs and spices that go on to make KFC so famous.
Listen, the performance of the week, I've changed mine now.
We were doing James Madison drinking out of a shoe. We moved on from that.
The performance of the week, Ashley Westwood, Bjorn Engels, or the giant KFC bucket of the cricket.
Yeah, okay.
Those are the three things. Chloe!
Well, I'm going to stick with my very, very tetchy response. I'm going to go Bjorn Engels.
Okay.
I feel as if I'm so now all in on Ashley Westwood that I can't ever pull out of him. So,
and because I've got the big microphone, I have no qualms in sticking with the KFC bucket, which wasn't even my original choice.
No.
So I'm looking at the producer. How do we? We've never had a three-way split like this before.
I think we just wrap it up. Just end the show, I think is what we do.
He's just drawn his finger across his throat. Is that the congratulatory sign for another great podcast? Well, thank you very much indeed for that. Because Chloe's relatively new to the thing, let's our thing win, yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, Bjorn Engels,
thank you very much indeed. I did come here to win. And next time I'm here, my confidence will be sky high.
That's the important thing.
And now you've introduced a note of humanity to the show, for which we thank you very much indeed.
We
also thank all of you for listening to us, recommending us to your friends and downloading us in the millions now. Past the hundreds of thousands, millions now downloading this podcast, award-winning as well. Thank you very much. We're back next week with more. And don't forget, as well, you might want to tune in a couple of days' time and download the other bit of it, which is called the appendix, and it's even better.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.